Hey, what's up, everybody? It's, what is this? Wrestling Uncensored. And we are previewing WWE's Money in the Bank tonight. We're going to watch AEW Rampage with you, and we're going to review tonight's episode of SmackDown. I'm going to get Johnny in here, and then we'll start the show. How about that? I said, how about that? How about that? How about it? How about it? I'm having trouble getting off the ground tonight, Johnny. You all right?
Well, I'm fine. I thought your brother was making an appearance for a second there because I saw your brother's name was listed. Yeah. I'm like, oh, nice surprise. Not the case.
No.
We are watching Rampage right now. Royal Rampage match is going on right now.
Whatever the hell that means. What?
Well, two
what
rings.
What is this?
Two rings, right?
Ugh. I don't like
it. Two-ring battle royal?
Yeah, it's ridiculous. It's all over the place. You watch it. I don't want to watch it. Not interested. SmackDown tonight was so bad. Let's start with how bad SmackDown was. Can we? Can we just start there? I think that's why I'm in a bad mood and I'm just kind of not into talking about wrestling. Because SmackDown was horrible. Was that the worst 2 hours of wrestling ever or what? Like, what happened? What happened? I can't think of one good thing that I saw tonight on SmackDown. It was 100% trash. What happened? This is how you go into a pay-per-view? They've got their pay-per-view tomorrow, WWE's Money in the Bank. Which, like, whatever. Who cares? I know we're previewing it here tonight, but man, I'm into UFC 276. That's what I want to watch. I want to watch the UFC tomorrow night. I couldn't care less about Money in the Bank. I'm hyped for the UFC. Israel Adesanya, Jared Cannonier, Alex Volkanovski, Max Holloway. We got some good fights lined up for tomorrow night. Alex Pereira, Sean Strickland. We got some good fights for UFC 276 tomorrow in Las Vegas. The fights are so good that the WWE tried to run Las Vegas in a stadium, but they couldn't sell enough tickets, so they're running the MGM Grand Garden Arena, which is, you know, about 50,000 less people for a capacity in the arena. Because they're delivering nothing but trash. This pay-per-view looks like trash. It'll probably be all right because the WWE talent come out to work and they work hard on pay-per-views and it's Money in the Bank. Like, maybe we'll have a couple of good matches. But by God, was the writing for this show terrible. SmackDown tonight was awful.
I won't disagree. It wasn't a great show. I did not mind the main event, though.
What?
I actually enjoyed the main event because the main event felt like a four-way. Like, I don't know if you've seen a bunch of these multi-person matches where it's just usually two people in, everyone's gone for like 5 minutes. This actually felt like it was very much back and forth. Maybe you didn't like who was in it, but
no,
they actually made it felt like a four-way match, and I appreciate that.
Wasn't good.
No, I thought it was actually very interesting. To me, it was easily the best thing I saw tonight was the main event. No question.
When a match between Madcap Moss, The Miz, Ezekiel, and Baron Corbin is the best thing you saw on a show, you know the show was bad. These guys were double booked.
Show.
Double booked. I had to watch these jabronis wrestle twice tonight.
You started with a battle royal.
It trash.
Seems to be the thing with Raw and SmackDown this week. Raw and SmackDown both started with battle royals.
Did Raw start with a battle royal too? Oh,
well,
yeah,
first
he did.
We had Cena.
Riddle
Cena
won a battle royal. Yeah, how come every that wrestling too. Show has a battle royal this week? Raw, SmackDown, Rampage now is doing a battle royal. Was this battle royal week? What's the deal?
Well, it's just called overkill the match. That's what's pretty much happening right now.
Yeah,
just...
man. Killing off your fan base. That's what it's called. Turning people that like wrestling into people that hate wrestling. I love wrestling, but sometimes when I watch these wrestling shows, I think I start to hate wrestling. You know? Forbidden Door was so good last week. That was like, what, Sunday?
Sunday.
Took, what, 5 days to turn me off of the whole business? What happened? It's ridiculous.
It's called you watch too much wrestling. And I told you, like, once you get to, like, your 8 hours worth, and then you have to realize you have another 3 to 4, possibly 5 hours on Saturday.
Too much.
It's a lot.
Too much. I'm barely going to be watching Money in the Bank tomorrow night. We're going to do Money in the Bank post-show and UFC 276 watch-along tomorrow night, 10 p.m. Eastern time. I'll be here with Johnny and AJ watching UFC and talking a bit about Money in the Bank, but by God, I'm not sure how much I really care about this pay-per-view. We're going to preview it here in a second. I just wanted to talk about how terrible SmackDown was. What a stupid show that I just watched. Seth Rollins, Drew McIntyre, Riddle, Sami Zayn, and Sheamus start the show on top of ladders, just talking to each other. These guys are supposed to fight each other in a ladder match. They wind up fighting each other in a battle royal minutes later, but they're all safely standing on top of ladders. How do they all get on top of the ladders? You would think that at one time, you know, like the show starts and they're all on top of the ladders. You would think at a certain point, like one of the guys would start climbing the ladder and another guy would try to, I don't know, knock him off the ladder. But no, they all just stand on top of the ladders. Also, Omos was not on a ladder. He was in the ring. And at no point did he try to knock any of his opponents off their ladders. He just kind of stood there like the big oaf that he is. Fuck off. I fucking hated this. This was the drizzling shits.
Well, they've done this before, though. I don't know if you remember back when Jericho was in Money in the Bank.
I know.
With, yeah. And people love that. They're like, oh, this looks so cool. I agree with you. I think it looks kind of stupid, but
yeah,
people loved it and they wanted it to be done again. So they did it again and I didn't like it too much. And then just do a battle royal for no reason in particular, just because like you're all here, let's all do a battle royal. But nothing was on the line. Like you said it best on Twitter where it's like, this could have been easily settled. The whole last spot could have been settled in that battle royal.
Yeah, like, all the guys that are in the match are in the ring, and then other guys come out and they're like, oh, I want to be in the match. Miz and Ezekiel and Happy Corbin and Madcap Moss, they all come out, right? And then Adam Pearce is like, right, we're going to have a battle royal with all of you guys. A good old-fashioned battle royal. Did you notice they had a graphic that said good old-fashioned battle royal? What the shit was that?
Yeah.
Garbage, right? And then at one point during a battle royal, McAfee goes to Michael Cole like, well, this is a battle royal for, and Cole's like, supremacy and momentum into Money in the Bank. It's like, supremacy. Even McAfee wasn't buying this bullshit. Seth Rollins, he doesn't even care about the match. Omos was going to attack him. Seth is like, I'm going to eliminate myself, and he just walks away. I guess Seth doesn't care about supremacy and momentum, which are just made up things to put on the line in a match when the matches mean absolutely nothing. And, you know, you're right. Ezekiel was supposed to wrestle Kevin Owens for the last spot in the match on Monday. Owens apparently has some sort of injury. He wasn't able to make it Monday, not able to make it tonight. I thought that the Battle Royal would be like, okay, I'm Adam Pearce. The Battle Royal is for the last spot in Money in the Bank. And if you win the Battle Royal and you're already in Money in the Bank, you can choose who the last guy, like you could choose, or maybe you could choose for there not to be another man to make it easier on you.
That'd be better. Yeah. Just make it 6-way.
Yeah. Or 7-way. Isn't it 7-way? It's 8 guys.
Well, it's 7-way now, right? Or is it 8? I thought it was 7, but
it is 7.
Yeah.
Why is it 7? What is that? 7? It's 6
or
8.
I'm sure it's been 7 before in the past.
I don't think so.
7 in the past.
7? 7?
Doesn't matter? Like, I mean,
no, it doesn't matter. Nothing matters, John. Nothing matters. None of this dumb shit matters. I wish it mattered, but it doesn't matter. Because it's stupid shit. Seth freaking doesn't care about supremacy. He's leaving. I'm out of here. So they could have done it. Yeah. If you win the Battle Royal, like Seth, if you win the Battle Royal, or Drew, if you win the Battle Royal, you get to make it a six-way. There's no seventh man in the match, right? And
right.
If you're not in the Battle Royal, Ezekiel, or if not in the Money in the Bank, Ezekiel, Madcap, Corbin, and Miz, you get to be in Money in the Bank if you win the Battle Royal. And then Corbin winds up winning the Battle Royal, yet still doesn't get the spot in the ladder match because they're backstage with Adam Pearce and they all want a spot, and he's like, we'll do a four-way. And it's like, you're double booking Corbin, Madcap, Ezekiel, and The Miz, four of the guys that I don't ever want to see in the ring ever. I don't want these guys to wrestle. I don't think these guys should be allowed to step in between the ropes. That's how much I hate them. That's how much I hate them as professional wrestlers. I mean, the men themselves, I don't know them, so I don't hate the guys, you know? But the performers, the wrestlers in the ring, I hate watching them wrestle. It's not personal. I just don't like to see them ever. They're terrible at wrestling. They were already allowed to wrestle for several minutes on TV, and now they have a match by themselves? You didn't even have one redeeming wrestler in this. Sometimes you have a bunch of jabronis in there, and it's like, well, AJ Styles is in the match, so maybe it'll be all right. There's no AJ Styles. There's no Kevin Owens. There's nobody cool in this match. It was just jabroni after jabroni. It was a jabroni parade of terrible wrestlers. Miz, Ezekiel, Madcap and Corbin? And that's how you main event SmackDown? Where's the Tribal Chief? Where's Roman Reigns? We need him back to make the show better. And this preceded a segment with male models meant to titillate you. They actually used the word titillate your juices or something. I don't know what the hell they were saying.
It was on the screen.
And McAfee was like, oh, my dick's hard. I can't believe this. This is amazing. I was like, what? Your dick's hard? Jesus Christ. He didn't say that, but he basically did. Is he gay, Pat McAfee?
Or something, didn't he?
Is he gay? I didn't know he was gay. I don't think he is. Maybe he's bisexual. I was not aware. But he seems very aroused by those male models. Was that a joke? Was he just playing it up for the crowd? I don't know. I didn't know he was gay.
I don't know if you noticed.
Good
he was like
him.
Laugh, like he was trying to say off his little spiel, and like he was like laughing a lot. You could tell. Like I think he tried to turn off his mic, but you could hear him laughing through Mike Cole's mic.
Oh,
like it was really bad, and that was my big problem with that whole segment. It's like you're trying to get something new over, and the commentators are laughing through it. It's pretty bad. When
I don't know what this is supposed to be.
Over.
Are they trying to tap into their gay male audience? Because I know that there are, I mean, I'm sure there's a pretty, I mean, I don't know how big it is, the segments of people watching this that are gay men, but this seemed like a segment for them. It's like, oh, look how handsome, and look at the body parts, and these are men, and look at all this. And I was like, what? I don't understand who this is supposed to be for. Is this a joke? It wasn't funny, so it didn't really seem like a joke. I guess it's for the women, maybe, but it seemed more kind of geared to men. It was odd. It was a very odd segment with Mace and Mansoor as the models. I mean, it's all fine. I got no problem with it, but it's confusing. I don't really understand what was going on. I guess it was supposed to be a joke, but the way it came off to me, I was like, oh, I guess they're trying to appeal to the gay community, which is cool. But maybe not.
I think they're trying to be.
I don't know
like
what they're
fashion,
trying to do.
Like experts, they're trying to show off what they know about fashion. I think. I didn't think it was anything
no,
particularly good, but
no, it was so bad. I think they're making fun of fashion and male models and stuff. I think it's like a joke. It's like a gay panic type of gimmick, which is so passé and old that we really shouldn't be going there. But that's what it seems like they're doing. A subtle, old timey gimmick. It's horrible. It was really bad. you know, beyond being a little bit confusing as to who they're trying to target with this gimmick, it was really boring, too. I kind of tuned out. I don't care to see Mace posing in pants or Mansoor posing with his little bag. I mean, he looked kind of cool with the bag, but I don't know.
I believe now what it's...
What the hell?
Mansoor Ray, I think it's his new name now, is it not?
Who cares? It doesn't matter what his name is. Did Brody King just win a battle royal to win a to get a title shot? Brody King won that thing? Hangman was in it. Darby Allin was in it. A bunch of guys were in it. And Brody King won?
Well, Brody King eliminated Hangman. And he eliminated Darby Allin at the end.
Why?
Well, think about it. Who's going to face Moxley?
Hangman? Darby? Somebody more...
Not those guys.
Somebody more worthy? Brody King.
Oh, no, it's gonna be a heel.
Oh, yeah, he's got a real shot at beating Jon Moxley for the title. That's good. Good stuff.
Well, to be fair, like, does anyone have a shot? Like, it's going to be Punk and Moxley down the road. So, I mean, don't need to give Allin or Hangman another big loss.
I don't know. I guess you're right. It's just when those guys are in it and Brody King wins, it's like, huh? All right. Well that's good, though. Rampage is halfway done, John. Rampage is halfway done, and that's good for me. You know, that Battle Royal took up most of the show, and that's fine. Let's just get through it. Finish. Madcap Moss winds up winning the four-way at the end. Corbin hit his finisher on Ezekiel, but Moss threw Corbin out of the ring, stole the pin, won the match. So Madcap Moss now is the final member of this Money in the Bank ladder match. Yeah. I mean, this Max Dupri thing was bad. This main event was bad. The Usos and the Street Profits interview in the ring was bad. Sonya Deville's thing with Adam Pearce, I mean, I don't even know what that was. She's mad that she was put in a 2-on-1 match last week, and she complained to management, and then she slapped Adam Pearce. Liv Morgan, Alexa Bliss, and Asuka beating Shotzi, Lacey Evans, and Raquel Rodriguez. That was my favorite part of the show, because Becky Lynch was on commentary, and she was pretty good. That was my favorite part of the show.
Her and McAfee said something because they both got censored.
Did they?
Like twice almost, too. Yeah. Like it sounded like they were calling Michael a pee hole. And then they said something else and that got bleeped.
What's a pee hole?
I don't know.
Like the hole that your pee pee comes from?
There you go. But they didn't get censored for that. They got censored for something else. It was weird. But
I like big time Bex.
Well, she's not big time biceps, whatever that name was. That was kind of stupid, but
whatever.
I don't like this idea, and this happened twice this week on Raw, or just WWE, like where you just have someone come out and do a promo and just destroy everybody who's like watching or looking at you. So everyone who's in the ring is garbage.
Yeah.
So yeah, now we get to watch them wrestle. So
yeah,
it's just kind of stupid when you do stuff like that. I find.
And then Becky comes in and hits Asuka with her manhandle slam after the match. And she's like, see, you guys all suck. And nobody did anything to Becky. They didn't do anything to her. They just watched her do it. And they're like, oh, I guess Becky's doing a move on Asuka now.
Not a fan of that. Like, you know, if everyone's going to be in a match and you try to put everyone somewhat on equal level, like that doesn't really work when stuff like that happens. It's just clearly Becky's the... you know, the star of this match and, like, pretty much carrying everybody.
Yeah. I mean, she is, though, isn't she? Look at this match. Lacey Evans. What has Lacey Evans done since she started? Like, she's been quiet. They tried to do this gimmick with her with the promos and the sympathy. It stopped. Yeah. I don't know if she's a heel or a babyface anymore. She's just there. She's part of the crowd. Raquel Rodriguez, same thing, part of the crowd. Shotzi exists, I suppose, more than Aaliyah, but just barely. Liv Morgan is you know, one of the bigger stars, I suppose, in this match, which says a lot. Alexa Bliss is the other Liv Morgan. And then there's Asuka, who's cool. And Becky, you know?
Yeah, well, I think it might be a decent Money in the Bank match. I think it's probably going to start the show. But I think, and just as you saw with the four-way tonight, like, it's just going to be better with the men's just because they're going to do a lot more crazy stuff, I think. Because a lot more of those guys are experienced this kind of match. And maybe some of them have been in this Money in the Bank ladder match before, but it's not really their forte to do this kind of match. They've done it, they'll do it, but I'm not expecting the greatest women's Money in the Bank ladder match tomorrow.
Honestly, I'm not expecting great ladder matches from either crew, the women or the men. Let's get into it, because this is some trash, John. The men's match, okay? Seth freaking. All right, thumbs up. He's a good wrestler, good in the ring. His promos are a little weird and whatever, but he can wrestle his ass off, right? He'll be good in the Money in the Bank. He could do this match.
Yep.
Drew McIntyre. Is he a ladder match guy? I don't think so.
I wouldn't say that, but he's had a bit of experience in this. And I feel like when you have guys like Seth Franklin, when you have Riddle, they can help make good spots with this guy, I think. So I think it'll be all right.
So we have Riddle, who I think can go in this. We have Seth freaking, and we have Samuel Zayn. I think all those guys can bring a lot to this match. Drew McIntyre.
They're going to carry it.
Yeah. But Drew, Sheamus, Moss.
Sheamus is okay.
In a ladder match? Although, so I have seen Sheamus in a Money in the Bank ladder match before. In person. I forget which one it was, but I've been to a couple Money in the Banks, and I saw Sheamus in one of them, and he was incredible. So yeah. Sheamus can do anything. Sheamus is one of the best in the world. So I want to take it back about Sheamus. But Moss and Omos, too many Mosses. Moss and Omos, they should be a tag team. The really Mosses. Omos. Madcap Omos. At Capo Moss.
The Moss of Moss.
Moss I don't know.
On Moss.
But they suck, right? They're both bad at wrestling. I don't really like them when I see them on TV. I was giving Omos the benefit of the doubt for a while, but at this point, you know, I've had it. Omos, you know, all these guys, Omos, Commander Aziz, it just goes to show you nobody appreciated Big Show enough in his time. Because, like, find me another 7-footer that could do what Big Show can do. I'll wait. Doesn't exist. Big Show was one of the greatest giants in the history of the business. People didn't give him any kind of credit when he was doing his thing. And now you look at these giants that have come after him. The Braun Strowmans, the Omases, the Commander Azizes, the Satnam Singhs. They couldn't lace Big Show's boots. All these 7-foot giants, man. Jabronis. No talent. No charisma. Omos has no charisma, no wrestling ability. All he has is his gigantic frame. You know what I mean? Like, if he were a foot shorter, he would be nowhere near the wrestling business.
Fine, but, you know, he is who he is. And, like, he works in this kind of match because we've seen this in the past. You throw in a Big Show, you throw in a Kane. I want to say even like maybe a Mark Henry, like there's a role for them in this kind of match. Like they're obviously not winning this kind of match usually. They came 1-1, but that was about it. But usually like they just go in there, they do a bunch of power moves and they got ambushed and probably buried under a table or a bunch of ladders. That's the common usual big man spot for the Money in the Bank ladder match. So it just, you know, it's kind of just what way it is now. The way it's been for a couple of years now.
I don't like it. I don't like most of the participants in this thing. I think we got a few guys that'll do all right, but I really couldn't care less about this Money in the Bank. Shout out to Doug Hepburn, one of the members of the team watching us live. Join.ringsidereport.net if you want to join and support the Ringside Report Network. He says, I think KO is hurt. Kevin Owens is hurt, right? He'll be back, though?
I mean, it's hurt or COVID, because they didn't really talk about it, right?
Yeah. I saw it was some sort of minor injury, but I don't know.
And he kind of just said, like, I didn't want to go to Texas, so he didn't really talk about it either. So it's something that's preventing him from showing up. So that's why I would never discount COVID, because I don't think he'll be gone for long. So it's just unfortunate for now.
Yeah.
But wait and see.
Would have been better if he was in this match, right?
Well, who knows if he would have got in this match? You know, maybe they looked at him and was like, well, change it up, do something different.
Yeah. But if it was him, I mean, it was between him and Ezekiel. And I was thinking it was probably going to be him.
Because they did the last chance spot before this match, right? They're supposed to do, I think, Kevin and Ezekiel before the last chance spot, right? That was probably going to be the later match.
Yep.
And you're probably going to have whoever lost that match in it again. And they're probably going to win that. So that was my thought going into this. Like, whoever lost that match was going to be the last chance. But then things got changed around, so then it changed everything.
Who's going to win this match?
Well, I've had Seth Franklin from the start, so I'm not really going to change.
Who have I had?
I don't think you've had anyone whatsoever, because like it wasn't done, to be fair. We didn't know who was in it.
Yeah. Seth makes sense, right? He's the only one who's talking about when to cash it in. You know? Like, when he was talking about his promo, right. He's like, hey, we all know, cash in SummerSlam after the Falls Count Anywhere match, right?
Yep. He talked about that. He mentioned it. Made sense. And unless it's not him, I could see Sami Zayn. The whole, like, hold back on getting the championship, holding it for Roman kind of thing. And thinking maybe he might cash in Roman, then decides not to. They could play into that, but to me, Seth, it's more intriguing story.
Yeah, the Sami thing does make sense with the bloodline and trying to ingratiate himself with that squad, but I don't think they give Sami that big of a match unless they really want to just add it on for Roman Reigns. Like, you know, pack it on. Say Sami gets the money in the bank and then he gives it to Roman as an offering to the tribal chief, you know? As a sign of good faith to Roman, I will not cash in on you. Here is the briefcase. Burn it. You know, do whatever you want with it, but it won't be cashed in. No one will bother you, Roman. That would be a cool thing for Sami to do to the tribal chief, for the tribal chief.
Yep.
But Seth freaking does make sense, too. And him talking about cashing in after the last man standing at SummerSlam between Brock and Roman, talking about how he cashed in on them before. It makes sense. I think he wins.
Thing is, to Seth, like, he's lost a bunch of matches. So he kind of needs to bounce back, put him back up in the main event scene. So this would do it.
That's true. Seth did lose 3 in a row to Cody Rhodes. And I feel like if Cody didn't get hurt, he would win Money in the Bank here.
Yeah, probably. Again, him or Seth, like, it would have came down to one of the two, right?
Yeah. So we're in agreement. Seth freaking is going to win Money in the Bank tomorrow night.
Well, that's one so far.
How about the women? Lacey Evans, Alexa Bliss, Liv Morgan, Raquel Rodriguez, Asuka, Shotzi, and Big Time Bex.
All right, I'm going to go with Becky. Because it just feels like the whole match revolves around her, so. But, I mean, it could be a number of them. I feel like the women's one is kind of always a surprise. Like, I didn't see Nikki A.S.H. winning last year, and she did, so.
I could see Raquel Rodriguez winning.
Right?
Like, they started her off with Ronda, you know?
Yep.
Like, her first match on SmackDown was against Ronda, wasn't it?
Maybe second match or something like that, but yeah.
Early, though. And that kind of, like, she lost, she had her thing, and it kind of went away.
Yeah.
But you bring her back, big, strong Raquel Rodriguez as a heel presence with the Money in the Bank. That's a threat to Ronda Rousey. I think whoever wins Money in the Bank has to use it to threaten Ronda's reign. because it's really hard to book Ronda losing her title in a straight up one-on-one match against anybody. Because of how strong Ronda's been built, it's hard to believe Ronda actually losing in a match. But if it's a Money in the Bank cash-in after Ronda has some sort of match or after Ronda's been compromised in some sort of way, you can believe Ronda losing the belt. And at some point, they're going to have to take the belt off of Ronda. I'm not sure when, though, you know? And that could lend itself to Becky Lynch winning to set up a program with Ronda down the road, which we all expect will happen. Becky versus Ronda seems like a match that they're going to do. But they haven't gone down that road yet. Becky could also win Money in the Bank and go back up against Bianca, because I think that they were planning on Rhea Ripley and Bianca, but now Rhea Ripley seems like she's out of the mix. So maybe they go back to Becky and Bianca. I think Becky is the strongest favorite to win, but I wouldn't be surprised to see Raquel Rodriguez or even Lacey Evans get the match. I see Doug Hepburn says he thinks it's going to be Liv Morgan. And, you know, they haven't given a lot to Liv. Liv won. She got the pin for her team tonight.
Yep.
But I feel like they're giving a little too much to Liv. I think Liv has been winning too much, and it makes me suspicious. She beat Alexa Bliss this week on Raw. She won the six-woman tag this week on SmackDown. Liv Morgan is winning a lot. I'd be surprised to see her win Money in the Bank, too, but I guess it's possible. She is on a roll, right? She's got supremacy and momentum, John.
Well, it's like I already said, like with the women's one, it really could be a surprise because it feels like even with them, they're not 100% sure how it's going to go. Again, Becky to me just makes the most sense because I feel you could do it either Bianca or Ronda. So Becky to me is the best choice, but maybe they'd like to do a surprise. You know, Liv would be a nice surprise. I don't think people would be mad about that. If you're going to have a heel win for the men, you know, you give a face for the women, it makes sense. But I just think they're just going to be mean and give it to Becky. Because Becky gets cheered anyway. Like, face or heel, it doesn't really matter.
That's it. People love Becky because she's cool. You know?
Well, I disagree that she's cool, but, I mean, people like her. So, whatever.
You don't think Becky is cool? Becky is cool. I think she's cool.
I think she tries too hard, to be honest, right now.
I like her sunglasses game. I think her outfits are amazing. I love it. I think she's way cooler than Seth.
That's not hard to do. That's really not hard whatsoever.
I think Becky's cool. I like Becky. I like her sunglasses. They're always cool. I want something like that.
We'll see what happens again tomorrow.
But, I'm going with Raquel Rodriguez, though, officially for my pick. I think she wins.
It's a good
surprise. She'll be a surprise.
Pick,
yeah.
If you look at last year, it makes sense.
Yeah. Ronda Rousey versus Natalya. I like Natty's promo tonight on SmackDown. I thought that was a bright point. Maybe the brightest point. Natty says Ronda has knocked, you know, she's knocked Natty's charisma, but Natty's like, well, after seeing Ronda's movies, I understand why Hollywood isn't breaking down Ronda's door anymore. Which was a pretty solid shot from Natty. Because Ronda is bad at acting in movies.
Doesn't she have, like, more movies coming up, though?
I don't know. I couldn't imagine anybody wanting to see that. And Natty says she's going to make Ronda tap out at Money in the Bank, which obviously won't happen. Ronda will make Natty tap out to the armbar and retain the SmackDown Women's title. That is the biggest lock of the night on that card, right? I don't think there's any match more certain than Ronda Rousey beating Natty at Money in the Bank. Or maybe Bianca Belair beating Carmella, I guess, too. But
yeah, I would say
I'd say it's pretty much even. They're both 100% locks. If you're going to bet on it, you could bet the house on Ronda and Bianca. They're not losing.
But I give it more to Bianca because I feel like Carmella, like, because she was just thrown into this out of nowhere. Like, there's definitely no chance. When we've seen this match before, too. Like, they just had no other option whatsoever. So it had to be Carmella, but yeah, she's not winning this at all. And at least with Natty, there's some credibility there. And there's a history with Ronda, so it's like maybe they could actually drag it into something. But more than likely, more than likely, Ronda's going to win
Natty,
this one. But
Natty never wins, Natty's man. Something. And Carmella wins sometimes. You know? I don't know. Money in the Bank and stuff. She's been on top for a while.
It's been a while.
It's been a while, but I don't know. Like, Natty was always the match. This was always the plan. The initial plan for Bianca was Rhea Ripley, and a lot of times when they switch up the match, they give you a title change.
That's for faces, though, not so much for heels. Like,
you're probably right. I think Bianca beats Carmella real easy, but honestly, if I were to pick one of the women's title matches where the title was most likely to change, I'd say Bianca and Carmella over Ronda and Natty, but I don't think the title changes in either match. I'm going to guess that the Ronda and Natty match is going to be way better than Bianca and Carmella, too.
Oof. Oh, well, yeah. Like, if anything, that's the weakest match on the whole show is Bianca Carmella.
Yeah.
The best case for that is just make it short. Even then, I worry.
Usos defending the Undisputed Tag Team titles against the Prophets of Street. They did a promo tonight in the ring.
Game show.
Is that what that was?
That's what the announcer said it was. We have a bit of a game show here tonight.
It didn't seem like a game show of any sort. I don't know what the hell that was.
Ask the Wrestler. That's what it seemed like.
I didn't like it. It was not a good promo. Right?
I didn't like it either, but, you know, because they've overdone face-to-face. Like, they've done it so many times that they had to introduce some sort of new concept, so it didn't feel like they were doing stuff over and over again.
Didn't feel new.
Wasn't great.
Didn't feel fresh. The only thing I got out of it was at one point, Kayla, who was doing the interviews, said, I hear you guys, Street Profits, aren't getting along so well. And I was like, what is this? Are they trying to break up the Street Profits? What was that? Did you pick up on that? And they're like, no, we're all good. We're getting along. It must be the dirt sheets that you're reading. I was like, what is this? Were they alluding to something in the dirt sheets? Was this... What was this?
Well, I think a lot of people have been seeing that people have been pushing that Montez by The Rock. The Rock said, this guy's a future star or whatever. But he didn't say anything about Dawkins, right? So.
Oh, really? I didn't see that. The Rock said Montez is a future star?
Yeah.
Why did he say that? Is The Rock about to buy WWE and turn Montez into the future star of the company?
He gave props. He must have saw something on Raw. He was watching.
Uh-huh.
He thought it was good. So, but I think that's it. They might be pushing more towards that now. And I think more than likely, it's fair to say, like, Usos are going to win. They're not losing in their first big defense here. It's just not going to happen.
Hell no.
They've defended it before, but this is their first big defense on premium live event.
Street Profits are kind of mid. Usos are one of the all-time greats. Street Profits, you know, whatever. They're in the division.
They'd win if they keep getting shots, they'll win. But yeah, they're not winning the first time.
No. Theory defending his U.S. title against Roberto Lashley. This could be interesting. I think Theory probably wins. Theory seems to want a match with John Cena at SummerSlam, but I don't know if that's actually happening. We'll talk about Cena in a minute here, but didn't seem like they set up a match of any sort when Cena was on Raw this week. Theory is going to wrestle Bobby Lashley. If he is to wrestle Cena at SummerSlam, then he would need to beat Bobby Lashley here.
Right.
I think he probably does, because, you know, Lashley's got all the over in this feud going into it. He beat Otis and Gable this week. He beat Otis, Gable, and Theory last week in a gauntlet match. Like, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Lashley's won everything, so I assume that Theory will win in the end. But whatever.
Well, I don't think there's gonna be a title change, but because what Cena didn't do, he didn't help set up a match, he just had a confrontation with Theory. And it sounded like from what he was saying, he didn't know when he was gonna wrestle again, so it sounds like SummerSlam isn't gonna happen. So I'm thinking Lashley and Theory, this might be extended, so I wouldn't be surprised there's like a DQ or a non finish here and we get another match at SummerSlam. But either way, Theory's walking out still champion.
Disappointing, though. Because I'll tell you, every time I see Austin Theory or Bobby Lashley come on Raw, I fast forward. Because I don't need to see these jabronis anymore. This Austin Theory, Bobby Lashley storyline is the most boring thing in all of WWE. And that's saying something. Because it's a really boring company right now. But this storyline with Ash with Austin Theory and Bobby Lashley, sick of it. Boring. Next, I don't give a shit about this match. I will not be watching this match. I will be watching the UFC 276 prelims. I will be watching Donald Cerrone and Jim Miller or whoever the fuck is fighting on the prelims. Even if I don't know their names and I don't know what fight it is, I'm going to be watching them instead of this stupid match. Damn it. Talk to our buddy Jeremy Prophet, who's a great wrestler, you know? Our boy Jeremy. He's out in Vegas right now, taking in the action. He told me there's plenty of buzz for the UFC. Hasn't heard anybody talking about Money in the Bank in Vegas. No buzz for Money in the Bank. People are hyped for the UFC, though. Vince McMahon making the good choices, making the right moves. Came out on Raw again this week, Vinnie Mac. Can't help himself. Introduced John Cena. Cena came in, saluted Vince. Vince left. Cena thanked the fans, talked about his 20 years in the WWE, did the whole Cena thing, Cena promo. He says he doesn't know when he'll be back, but he will be back. But it didn't seem like it was going to be anytime soon. It didn't seem like SummerSlam. He got a nice reaction from the crowd. Crowd was loving him. He gave his gear to the fans as he left. It was nice. It was a nice little Cena moment. And I really enjoyed the fact that the WWE opened that forbidden door, got Bryan Danielson, Chris Jericho, Big Show, all AEW talent to do little video messages for the 20 years of John Cena. It was mighty big of them to do that. Did not expect to see AEW talent on Raw on Monday night. They've tried to ignore AEW. They've tried to act like they're the enemy. They've tried everything. And now I think they're just saying, you know, maybe we could just all be friends. Let's just be cool. Which I think is the right move for all of wrestling. Because Raw wasn't that exciting, but one of the most exciting parts was seeing, you know, Bryan Danielson on the show. Because you don't expect him to be there. He didn't do much. He didn't say much, but it was like, oh, shit, look at that. What's he doing there, you know? And that's what you want to see when you're watching a wrestling show. You want to have moments where you go, whoa, wasn't expecting that. That's kind of cool. I mean, you also want moments where you go, holy shit. I mean, those are good, too, but WWE doesn't always give us that. So when you throw Big Show and Daniel Bryan on TV, it's like, oh, that's cool. It was nice, you know? Because WWE can be pretty petty. Try to ignore their history. Try to ignore people that were in the company. But this was not that. This was big of them to do. And I appreciate it.
Well, we got Daniel Bryan, not Bryan Danielson. I don't know if you noticed that.
Whatever. I mean, they use his WWE name. That's fine.
Right. And that's nice. I imagine they're just like, this helps Cena, so as long as it helps Cena, like, we don't mind. However, there was no CM Punk, so it doesn't really matter for some people. And there was no Mark Henry either, so it's interesting who WWE wanted and didn't care for.
They asked for Mark Henry. Mark Henry did record a video. I think Meltzer reported this. I'm not sure. somebody reported that Mark Henry did record a video, but they just didn't show it. Maybe it wasn't that good and they didn't like it or whatever. But they did ask for Mark Henry and he did a video. They just didn't show it on Raw. Yeah, no CM Punk. But I think a lot of those videos, I guess Bryan's was recorded at his home. Jericho's was recorded backstage. Apparently it was right after he shot the fireball into Shota Umino's face because he's a wizard. It's cool, though. You know? It's a cool thing. Oh, CM Punk wasn't there. Whatever. Big deal. They showed Bryan. They showed Show. They showed Jericho. It's cool. It's cool. It makes the John Cena celebration, 20 years of Cena, seem special. Doesn't it? Like, it made it more special than if they just did the regular whatever else they did. Right? It added something.
Yeah. It did. I mean, they already have the video package, and that's fine. And they had Cena entrance before he even came out and did it. And then they have another entrance to come out. I just felt they did it a little too much, though. Like, you don't need to have, like, the whole roster, most of the roster, like, welcome in Cena. And then everyone, again, welcome in Cena on his entrance. Like, again, it just feels like everyone is below him. Like, not even close. Like, some people can. It's fine. But all the faces, all the heels, like, maybe just the faces. That's fine. Didn't need to be all of them like that. And he kind of snubbed a couple of them, too. I don't know if you noticed that a little bit.
Yeah. I like the beginning when Cena's walking into the arena and everybody's just cheering for him. All the wrestlers are standing on the walls just watching Cena and applauding. And he, like, goes and shakes some people's hands, but other people he just kind of walks by and doesn't even act, you know, acts like they're not even there. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was funny. But whatever. It is what it is. I don't care.
He also did it with the fans, too. It's like, oh, if you're a kid, he'll go right up to you. If you're an adult, like, no, screw you. Like,
yeah, well, he's for the kids. Cena's for the kids, you know? I like the, at one point, Cena's walking backstage, and he's seeing this guy. He's seeing Rey Mysterio. He's seeing R-Truth. He's hugging them. And then he walks by a guy, and he's like, oh, wait a second. And he walked back, and he was like, oh, and it was Billy Kidman. He had to give mad love to Billy Kidman. He's like, oh, Kidman, you know? That was cool. I appreciate, because it felt kind of real. It felt like the guys that Cena would really kind of go out of his way to say hi to. It didn't feel like, okay, John, you're going to shake this guy's hand, then this guy, then this guy. It felt like John walked through and, you know, whoever you see, greet them. It was all right.
Right.
I liked it. I liked that part. I didn't like when they did the introduction of Cena in the ring, when Vince introduces him and everybody's standing there, all the women are standing and the men are standing on the, you know, on the ramp. But Carmella and Miz is there and he's like cheering for Cena for some reason. But Carmella and Bianca, who just got into a physical confrontation, right?
Yeah.
They're standing right there. They're standing like a foot away from each other and they're just cheering for John Cena. They put their differences aside for the good of John Cena. It makes everything else seem fake and lesser than. It's too bad. But, you know, that's nitpicking.
The faces, it's fine. It's just the heels. It's like, it really put everyone down. It just made, meant they were nothing doing stuff like that. Because John Cena's there, so whatever is going on, who cares? John Cena's here. Again, faces, it's fine. Heels, not so much.
I guess we're not getting John Cena at SummerSlam, though, because Austin Theory got in his face, said some things, how he was out of touch, then he went to take a selfie with him, and Cena disappeared. You can't see him. And then that was it. Like, I guess Cena's not going to wrestle at SummerSlam. Because I feel like if he was going to wrestle at SummerSlam, he wouldn't have said all that stuff about, I'll be back, I just don't know when. And he would maybe got physical with Austin Theory, like hit him with the attitude adjustment or something. Or maybe taking a beating from Austin Theory or something to lead into a match. But that did not happen, which makes me think, no Cena.
SummerSlam's 4 weeks away, so.
Yeah, it's not far. We did see Cody Rhodes. He was interviewed in a gym in Atlanta talking about rehabbing his torn pec. He says he's been told that he's got to be away for 9 months, and he's trying to respect that, kind of signaling to the crowd that he might be back sooner than later. He said he wanted to be Money in the Bank and talked about the participants and all that stuff. It's good to see Cody back on Raw. I think it's a good move to keep his face and name out there as a big part of the show. Having him just disappear for months isn't the best. Keep the supremacy and momentum for Cody Rhodes.
Well, I think it also helped sell the Money in the Bank match because he helped put over all the competitors in there. So, and to me, it just sold the fact more that Seth's going to win, because then it would really hurt Cody the most, because it should have been him, right?
Yeah. I think you're right. I think it will be Seth. Tony Storm just beat Nyla Rose. And then Marina and Nyla Rose started beating up Tony Storm, and Thunder Rosa made the save. They already wrestled, though, didn't they? Thunder and Tony?
That was the pay-per-view, yes.
Yeah. So they're going to wrestle again? Are they going to team now or something? I don't know. Who cares?
Sounds like a tag. Maybe it'll lead to another match, possibly.
Yeah.
I mean, the next pay-per-view is in September, so.
Oof.
It's a long ways away.
Thank God we get a long break from those marathon AEW pay-per-views. Although the last one was not so long, and it was pretty damn good. I loved Forbidden Door. And we'll see what I think about WWE's Money in the Bank going down tomorrow night. We've done the preview. We've broke it all down. I guess we could talk a little AEW as well. Before we do, though, how about Logan Paul signing with the WWE? Seems like a multi-event, multi-match deal, not just for SummerSlam. Miz cut a promo talking about Logan Paul and saying that they're going to team up at SummerSlam and that they're going to be Undisputed Tag Team Champions one day. Then AJ Styles winds up beating The Miz by countout after Miz bailed on the match. AJ's nose and cheek were kind of bleeding after that match. Kind of a rough one for AJ. But
right,
Miz,
knee, I think.
Was it a knee?
It looked like it was the knee, yeah.
Hmm. Oh, Miz, he's so talented. He can really, keep his weapons in check. Good job. But I guess it won't be Logan Paul and The Miz in a team. I think it's going to be Logan Paul versus The Miz, because Logan Paul signs a deal now with WWE. He says he's coming for The Miz. I think it's going to be Miz versus Logan one-on-one, because Miz did hit a skull-crushing finale on Logan Paul after their WrestleMania match. Miz said it was just a lesson and that they're all cool, but I think Logan Paul wants revenge, and I guess he's going to come into the WWE as a babyface.
Ooh, good luck with that.
Yeah. WWE signs a big star, and already not sure how to use him. Put him up against The Miz as a babyface. I think that's going to be a SummerSlam match, though, right? Logan Paul versus The Miz. Logan Paul's a heel. WWE needs to figure that out. Maybe they'll figure it out The Miz is treated like the babyface for the SummerSlam crowd. You know what I mean? Like, when they do that match, the fans, wrestling fans, are going to cheer for The Miz because he's a wrestler. And they're going to boo Logan Paul because he's a heel guy. WWE doesn't know that because they're completely out of touch. But Miz is going to get cheered at SummerSlam. Miz, who's the worst. But good for them signing Logan Paul, because he's a big star. I talked about it a little bit last night on Ringside Report MMA. You know, he's a guy that people follow. When he does his boxing thing, people tune in. When he does his videos on YouTube, people watch. When he does a podcast, people watch. His fans follow him anywhere, so hopefully they'll follow him to the WWE and get more WWE fans. That's the name of the game, try to bring more people into the show. Hopefully Logan Paul can bring in more fans to the WWE. And I think he's going to be good as a wrestler. Like, from what I saw at WrestleMania, he was pretty good. I think he's going to be good for the WWE. A long-term deal, multi-events, I think that's great. Good for them.
Well, it's amazing, like, the way it worked out, but, you know, AJ was right. Like, Logan Paul became one of the biggest stars, I think, in wrestling. It's crazy how that's already happened, but it happened so fast.
It's good, right? Nothing bad about this. This is a good signing from WWE.
It's huge because now you have someone who's like somewhat over with the mainstream audience and like can actually somewhat wrestle. So this is can be really good. Like I don't expect to do like live events. I'll probably just do like maybe the random Raw,
Yeah.
you know. Maybe not even all the premium live events either. Might just be the big one, SummerSlam, Survivor Series, stuff like that possibly, but still. Just to have him around, the buzz he'll create, that's huge. Like he'll push up the ratings for sure.
That's it. Seeing him at WrestleMania made me realize he's bigger than most of the wrestlers already. He's in top
Right.
shape. He's got a good look. He's pretty athletic. He's not bad at wrestling. He's got a hell of a personality. People either love him or hate him, and that's what you want. He's one of the biggest stars in the world today. You could hate him, you could love him, whatever you want. The guy moves the needle, you know? You don't get Floyd Mayweather in the ring with no boxing experience unless you're a massive star. You know, Logan Paul managed to get Floyd Mayweather to box him. It's not worth it for Floyd Mayweather to box any old jabroni guy that means nothing to the culture. Logan Paul's a big star, and I know people are like, "What? Why?" 'Cause he's famous. You know? 'Cause he's famous. Not many people in the WWE are as famous as Logan Paul. Apparently, that picture that they posted there of Logan Paul signing with WWE was the most liked picture that WWE has ever posted on Instagram.
Not surprised.
I mean, you know, that counts for something. I'm not sure what, but it counts for something. He's
He's got a
worth
huge fan.
something. Huge fan base. Bigger fan base than, you know, Orange Cassidy. Why did it change his theme song again?
Apparently, that theme song, because Tony Khan talked about this, I think, on the post-media scrum for Forbidden Door, that was his original theme, I think, when he was in the Indies. So it's kind of like how they're playing into whole I was Punk's old theme, bring it back kind of thing, you know, when he had
Yeah.
that big special theme. Was it against Kingston or was it against MJF? I think it's MJF. He had that
Yeah,
special theme.
MJF.
So it's just something like that. They decided, well, they can bring it back, so why not?
Yeah, whatever. It's just they seem to be spending a lot of money licensing theme music for Orange Cassidy. It's the second theme song that they've licensed for him. How much money are they spending on this guy's music? Anyways. He beat Ethan Page in the opener for Dynamite this week, despite interference from Dan Lambert. That opened Dynamite. Yeah. I don't have anything
It's
really about
interesting.
that. I mean, it happened.
It felt like the first hour was just like Dark Elevation almost. I was just like, this doesn't really matter. Jim Ross isn't even here yet, but we're gonna have matches. Then we'll have the big main event that will take up a whole hour.
Super chat, super
Just
chat,
wait until that
super.
happens.
Yeah. I think the whole show was pretty weak. They were all building up to the death or destruction, whatever it's called, the
Blood and guts.
blood and guts. Doug Hepburn says, thanks, boys. Johnny versus Joey Joss Chestnut, July 4th, Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest. I think you could win a hot dog eating contest, John. I've seen you put down the food, man. I think you could do it. Thank you, Doug, for the super chat. Appreciate you.
Probably could, but hot dogs are terrible for you. You shouldn't eat hot dogs.
That's right. That's right, John. Yeah, the first hour of Dynamite this week was pretty bad. AEW not bringing it this week. They had a great pay-per-view last
At the
weekend,
second
and then,
hour.
I mean, the second hour they did Blood and Guts, right? Claudio Castagnoli, Eddie Kingston, John Moxley, Wheeler Utah, and Ortiz. No Santana, just Ortiz. Apparently those guys don't get along. Was he there?
Oh, he got hurt. You didn't see that? That was horrific.
I guess I missed that.
He did a spinning rock bottom thing and his leg twist, and was just down on the mat the rest of the match. And he's stuck in the cage too. That's the worst injury too. It's there's nothing you could do. The match hasn't even really started yet because people are still coming in, and he's just lying there. He can't do anything.
Was that why?
His ACL.
Did he disappear afterwards?
He disappeared when the ending happened, when they all came on top of the cage, because clearly he wasn't going to climb top of the cage, but he was lying down on the ring until they went up top on the cage.
That match was chaotic.
Cage, right?
There was too much going on.
There's a lot that happened. There's no question about it.
Yeah.
A lot of craziness. A lot of blood. Glass.
Yeah. Thumbtacks.
Thumbtacks, yeah.
Everything.
A lot of chairs. I think there was a table, too, yeah. I think Hager went through a table.
Sammy went off the top of a cage through a table.
Well, that was the usual, big pad probably underneath kind of thing, but yeah.
Still, it looked rough.
They sit. Oh, well, the height was very impressive to see that, too. I mean, if you've seen the different angles, the fan cams and all that, to watch that live, that must have been incredible.
Yeah.
But I imagine he's okay, though, because that seemed like it was a pretty big thing to land on, so.
Where do you rank this Blood and Guts match compared to the last one? Better? Same? Worse?
I thought this was better. Mm-hmm. I thought the other one, it had some good moments, but I wasn't as excited. And I thought the ending was a little too convoluted with the whole MJF thing, with the whole, I'll push you, I won't push you thing, or, I'll give up and push him anyways. They played too much in the story here. And it felt like there was a bit of a mistake, but only because I don't think they realized if they were live or not. But for the most part, that's what the ending was supposed to be, was Kingston had the submission, was trying to beat Jericho, but Claudio beat him to it.
Claudio had the submission on Daddy Magic.
The Sharpshooter, yeah.
Yeah, and Daddy Magic tapped out, and that was the cause of the end of the match. Kingston and Claudio seemed to have beef, but then they seemed to kind of make up and hug when it was all said and done. So I don't know what we're supposed to believe with those two. Moxley helped him?
Yeah, Moxley was talking to him and said that you have to go up to him and make peace or something. He said something to him before the match even started.
Mm-hmm.
So that seemed to keep him level-headed.
Is that
story?
But then
he was mad at the end a little bit.
That's a story, right? With Claudio and Eddie Kingston? Because it seemed real, but it's not clear what's going on.
Well, again, this happened on the indies. I didn't really see it or whatever, but I guess it was just a lack of respect. I guess guys like Claudio didn't see Eddie Kingston as an actual wrestler. They just thought he was kind of a garbage wrestler. So, and I guess they didn't have any problems telling him that. So I don't think he appreciated that too much. And
they had a lot of matches, though, in Shikara.
Shikara, I want to say just in that area, New Jersey whatsoever, Chicago probably as well. Just beds in that area, they probably had a bunch of matches. But it was still just a lack of respect. I don't know if it was because of Ring of Honor and they just felt he didn't fit the style. But there's beef there, and Kingston holds a grudge, and that's fine. It's probably going to play out in AEW, just not yet.
It's confusing to me. I'm not sure, because I know they feuded on the indies, so I'm not sure if this is just trying to play off their feud on the indies or there's real heat. Because Kingston and Claudio, they had their feud on the indies, but then Kingston has said things Claudio should have put me over before he went to WWE, and he didn't. So I don't know if that's part of the story, too, that they're trying to build. It's strange. But it's also are they building a story between Claudio and Eddie? Because they're on the same team, so I don't really see how that works. But maybe in the next few weeks it'll play out. I don't know. It's odd. But it's good to see Claudio Castagnoli in AEW right in the mix in this big hour-long Blood and Guts match in the win over the Jericho Society. Not sure where they all go from here. Does Claudio start feuding with Eddie Kingston, or Does he feud with Chris Jericho now? Like, what does he do?
Well, I think he should start building himself up as a contender right now. Just go after challenges and challenges, build himself up in the rankings. Eventually become a challenger for CM Punk, I think. Like, not that he's going to challenge Moxley because same group, but I think once Moxley loses the title, I think Claudio should be the next guy.
I think a lot of it depends on what happens to Bryan Danielson, too. When does he come back? How does he fit into everything? So, we'll see. Unclear what's going on there with the Blackpool Combat Club. Christian, he did a good promo, another good promo. This turtleneck Christian is a mean guy. He said he was asked to apologize for the things he said about Jungle Boy's family and his father. He said, I'm not going to apologize. It's too bad that it's not just your father that's dead. It's too bad your whole family isn't dead, so they don't have to witness what I'm going to do to you, Jungle Boy. And he's like, oh, except your mom, you know, because told his mom to call him. And he's like, hey, you know, I requested a match, but I never said it was for me. And then out comes Luchasaurus. He's got a new mask. It's black. He's got new music. Sounds like Kane's music. Was he acting like Kane here in his squash match against Serpentico? Do you notice Luchasaurus comes out basically with Kane's theme song, Kane's pyro, and he even did the, like, Kane head tilt looking at Serpentico? I was like, yo, man, are you Kane right now? Was I the only one who felt like he was trying to be Kane?
I feel like he's done the head tilt before, though. So, okay. I mean, besides the black, like...
What about the music?
And, you know, a little bit, but I don't know if that's what they're really going for. I think
really?
A monster kind of thing,
like
but
Kane.
I wasn't feeling Kane, just a monster, period.
Oh. All right, well, I thought he was trying to be Kane, but I guess maybe that was just me, but I don't know. Watch it again. Listen to the music. Sounds a lot like Kane's music. He beat Serpentico in a squash. FTR and Danhausen beat Max Caster and the Ass Boys. A weird... pairing there, FTR and Danhausen. It worked. Anthony Bowens accidentally hit one of the Ass Boys with a crutch. The Ass Boys were mad, but Billy Ass pushed one of his own sons down and seemed to side with the Acclaimed against his own sons, which was weird.
I don't know, tough love. Wait and see how this all develops, but maybe there's friction of some kind.
Maybe Billy just wants to wrestle his sons. And this way, Bowens is hurt. He could team with Caster against the Ass Boys.
Well, how hurt is he if he's using the crutch and, like, standing without
sitting
down? Like, he might be getting better.
Jade Cargill beat some sort of jobber in a squash match. Then she cut a promo about competition. And then Athena and Chris Statlander came out to attack. And then Jade's manager, Stokely something. What's his name?
I think Stokely Hathaway. Think.
Okay. He told the jobber to, like, help Jade, and then she did. And Jade and Kira Hogan and the jobber lady all took out Statlander and Athena. A new baddie, perhaps. I don't know. And that was Dynamite.
Well, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, whatever. And the Young Bucks cut a promo about how none of their friends are cleared to wrestle and they're all alone with the tag team belts. And they beat Goto and Yoshihashi this week on Rampage, did the Bucks. So the Forbidden Door still slightly open with Yoshihashi and Goto from New Japan coming in doing the job on Rampage to the Bucks. The Bucks did say in their promo on Dynamite that if Goto and Hashi beat them in the non-title match, then they get a tag title shot, but they didn't beat them. So no title shot for Yoshihashi and Goto, which is fine with me, because if you watch New Japan, I mean, you can't really buy Yoshihashi beating the Bucks. It's ridiculous. Ridiculous. That's about it. That's about it, John. Is there anything else we haven't covered? Money in the Banks tomorrow? Oh, things are
there's
happening.
A lot of Raw. I don't know how much we want to talk about Raw so much.
I don't know. John Cena was there. Riddle won a battle royal. They played videos for John Cena. Montez Ford beat Jey Uso. Miz did a promo about Logan Paul. AJ Styles beat Miz. Bianca Belair did a promo. Liv Morgan beat Alexa Bliss. Vince introduced John Cena. Bobby Lashley beat Otis and Gable. Cody Rhodes did the interview. Seth Rollins did a little promo with John Cena backstage. And then Becky Lynch beat Xia Li, Nikki Ash, Tamina, Doudrop, and Shayna in a last chance qualifier to win Money in the Bank. That was Raw, John. That's everything that happened. I think we've covered it. Is there anything you want to talk about specifically? Because, I don't know, that final, the main event? You want to talk about Doudrop and Becky Lynch? Like, I don't know. Blech.
Well, this is like the third weekend where you get a multi-woman match. Like, I think 1 week we had a four-way, then we had a five-way. Now we have a six-way elimination. Like, it felt like every week we had to have a multi-woman match of some kind for some reason. It felt like they have no ideas, to be honest. Let's just throw a bunch of women on the show and see what happens, pretty much. And I don't know if you saw this. I posted this on Twitter. I think you saw it, how it's like, apparently you can win this match by countout. Six-way countouts. Which, throughout the match, I kept saying, no countouts.
Yeah. So on the graphic they showed, weird. On the graphic it showed you could lose by countout, but then half the people were outside of the ring for most of the match, right?
Well, that's how the women's matches usually work, so yeah. And the eliminations, by the way, like, I mean, if it's come down to Becky and whoever, like, it shouldn't be Becky and Doudrop. Like, I'm sorry, like, she's not credible. Like, it should have been, like, Becky and Shayna, possibly. You know, maybe you could somewhat see Shayna. But Becky and Doudrop, like, I mean, it's pretty obvious who's going to win. I would have done the eliminations a bit better than that.
I mean, come on. When they put that match together, they showed the graphic. Xia Li, Nikki Ash, Tamina, Doudrop, Shayna Baszler, and then Becky Lynch. I was like, well, fuck. I mean, who's going to win this? You know what I mean? Like, it's obvious that Becky was going to win. She's in there with such jobbers. And it wasn't even like one fall to a finish where they could have not pinned Becky. This was elimination. So somebody, one of these jobbers would have had to beat Becky. Come on now.
Which wasn't going to happen, obviously.
No.
But still, I mean,
as soon as they booked that match, you knew what was going to happen.
It's just, when it came down to the end, I mean, it was just obvious. Like, there was just no competitiveness. It just felt like, well, this is, I mean, I felt like they rushed that too, by the way. Like, the second Becky got that pin, Raw went off the air.
I think we're all done with it. They're like, let's show some mercy on the audience and end this show.
Well, hopefully no more multi-women matches. Like, stop doing that. It's lazy, one. And two, like, just because you're showing a bunch of women doesn't mean it's going to be a good match, because usually these matches are just a mess.
That's Money in the Bank tonight. Multi-woman ladder match coming up.
Oh.
Yeah. UFC will be pretty good tomorrow night. UFC 276. I'm doing a live watch-along right here for the pay-per-view. 10 p.m. Eastern time tomorrow night. Saturday night, 10 p.m. Eastern time. It's the UFC 276 watch-along, and we will also get Johnny North on here to recap WWE's Money in the Bank. We'll be reviewing Money in the Bank and watching UFC 276 all at the same time tomorrow night. It's a massive night in combat sports. The world descends upon Las Vegas. We've got Money in the Bank and UFC 276 all going down in Vegas tomorrow night. We'll be watching it. We'll have our eyes on everything. And we'll be here tomorrow night, 10 p.m. Eastern time, to break it all down for you. Thank you, Harold, dropping a super chat. You are now the super chat leader of the night. Appreciate you, Harold. And we've got a big night tomorrow night. AJ will be here. Johnny will be here, and we will be partying for UFC 276 and the Money in the Bank show. Right here on the Ringside Report Network. John, before we go, do you have a next match, next another booking, something to promote?
Hopefully next week. Wait and see.
All right, so wheels in motion. We will get that information from Johnny North real soon. And that's it for me. Happy Canada Day. Happy 4th of July. Happy birthday to my brother. John, wish my brother happy birthday. It's his birthday on Sunday.
Happy birthday, Ben.
You know he's watching this show. I love you, buddy. And I'll see you again real soon. And that's it. I'll see you all again real soon tomorrow night right here at 10 p.m. Eastern Time on the Ringside Report Network.
Please join in and give your support to Ringside Report Network. We've been providing expert coverage and commentary on both pro wrestling and MMA for over 15 years. Go to ringsidereport.net/support to find out more ways to support the channel.